Good morning. Today's Daf Baba Kama is Sadi. We're on Pei Tesamid Beis. We're starting with the words Lema Takanas Usha Tanaihi. We are now on the third day of discussing Takanas Usha. At this point in time, I hope I understand. I understand what Takanas Usha is. I hope everyone here does as well. It's really not that complicated. A woman goes into a marriage and she goes in with assets. So those assets can be rolled in as Nichsei Malug. Now, it could also be rolled in as Nichsei Tzom Barzel, but happens to be that we're only going to be focusing on the Nichsei Malug. So when she goes into a marriage and she takes her assets and rolls them into Nichsei Malug, what does that mean? It means that those assets still are hers. They are fundamentally hers, and the husband's going to have rights to those assets, otherwise known as peiros. So the husband now will have rights to those assets, and not only will he have rights, but he'll also be able to take any dividends that come off of it. So let's say, for example, she comes in with property. So what the husband now is going to have is he's going to have rights to those properties, i.e., if there's yield, if it produces fruit, so he's going to be able to take that produce. That's peiros. So we have over here now, when a woman gets married, her nichsei malug is going to be separated into guf versus peiros. The guf is hers. She still is the title holder of that property, but the peiros are going to be his. Good. That is first and foremost. Now, if in the event she sells those properties while she's married, so is that sale going to be a binding sale? That's what we've been discussing now for the last 3 days. And the Chachamim in Usha came up with the following takana, and that is that she cannot sell those properties. Why? Even though she has a kinyan haguf and she is the owner and she is the title holder, nevertheless, she cannot sell them. Why? Takana Susha tells us that the husband's kinyan peiros are going to be improved. His position is going to be an improved position. He is no longer just a right holder to that property. He is going to have a stronger shibud on that property. He is going to be the lokeach rishon, like the first buyer, meaning to say that if she goes ahead and she sells that property to somebody else and then she dies, he will be coming in and acquiring that property as if he purchased that property. Now, he didn't purchase the property, but nevertheless, the Takana Susha tells us that it's ki'ilu he purchased that property already, and therefore he can just simply repossess what is now his. So therefore, Takana Susha is an enhancement of shibud of the husband on the nichsei malug of his wife. Okay, that's a good sentence. It's a complete sentence, and that is effectively what Takana Susha is. Now, Takana Susha, are we going to be reading about in the Mishnah? No, we're not. We spent the entirety of yesterday's daf going over Mishnayos in Shas that can at least speak to Takana Susha. Maybe we could see Takana Susha. We cited a Mishnah Makos yesterday. We cited a Mishnah Baba Kama. We happen to be learning Baba Kama right now. We cited a Mishnayos and Makos Baba Kama. So over there, I could see Takana Susha. Yeah, it's true, you can, but the Mishnayos themselves do not speak it out as clearly as we're saying it right now. And so that brings us now to the third day of Takana Susha, and it's the final day in which we're going to be discussing Takana Susha, Machlokes Tanaim. What the Gemara is now going to propose is that maybe this Takana Susha is not agreed to by everybody, and perhaps it's a Machlokes Tanaim, and that's where we are right now. We're in Pei Tesamud Beis Lema. Lema Takana Susha Tanaihi suggests to Gemara that maybe it's a Machlokes Tanaim, the Nichad Avnei Malug. So Yotzim b'shein v'shein v'ayin leisha avalolish v'tani idach lolish v'lolisha. Okay, so now we're talking about avde malug, which means that the woman's going into a marriage with avadim. She has eved kananim going into the marriage, and when she goes into the marriage, so she assigns them as nichsei malug. Now nechasim can be property, but of course it can be avadim. And now into the marriage are now the avadim, the eved kanani of hers going into the marriage. Who is the owner of those Eved Kanani? It's an important question. Why? Because we know that when it comes to the owner of the Eved Kanani, so if you, let's say you knocked out any one of the Chav Dalad Rosh Evarim, so the Eved's going to go free, but only that is when it's knocked out by the owner of the Eved Kanani, the Eved Kanani is going to go free. So, who's the owner of the Eved Kanani? When the Avadim Kananim are Nichsei Malug, they're Avde Malug. So who's the owner? So according to the Tanna Kamma, well, there's no Tanna Kamma here. One brisa tells us that she's the owner. A second brisa says neither are the owner. Lo li'ish v'lo li'isha. So in brisa number one, if she were to knock out any one of the chav dal rosh evarim, the eved kanani goes free because she's the owner. According to brisa number two, no. In other words, if If either one of them were to knock out a Shein V'ayin, he does not go free. Okay, good. So we have two brises, and now we need a hesber. What's the machlokas between the two brises? Savru de kulam kinyan perislav kinyan aguftami. So there are a lot of considerations. So the Gemara says, let's suggest, and you know what's going to happen, by the way, because when the Gemara says, let's suggest, so that means that we're walking in with an assumption, and what we're going to end up doing is we're going to be backtracking on this assumption. It happens all the time. But that's how Gemara works. Let's assume that everyone's of the position that kinyan peiros lav kinyan aguf, meaning the husband has what anichse melug peiros. Let's assume that kinyan peiros is lav kinyan aguf. That's a machlokus we already saw together between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And right now we're going to assume, like the shita of Reish Lakish, that kinyan peiros lav kinyan aguf, the husband's rights have no ownership stake in the eved. Let's assume that. Now, my lav b'hakimifugi manda amar liisha leislei. And so now we could be mazber the machlokas like this. The brisa, the first brisa that says that the eved will be yotzei b'shein v'ayin if the wife goes ahead and knocks out shein v'ayin, so that brisa does not subscribe to takanas usha. That brisa is of the position that there was never takanas usha, and therefore who is the only sole owner of the eved? That's going to be the woman, and therefore the eved is going to go free with shein v'ayin. On the other hand, brisa number two that tells us that regardless of whether it's the isha or the ish who knocks it out, the eved's not going to go free. Why? Because there is no individual sole owner of it. Why? Because the brisa number two holds of takanas usha. And if you hold up takanas usha, what effectively are we saying? She loses ownership stake. Why? Takanas usha tells us now that he also is an owner. We have over here, now to call it a partnership is not really accurate, but in other words, we have over here multiple owners to the Eved Kenani. The Nichsei Malug, enhanced with takanas usha, now tells us that she's an owner and he's an owner. So that means to say that we have no longer exclusive ownership of the Eved, and that's why if the woman were to knock out Shein V'ayin, he wouldn't go free, because she's not the sole owner. And if the Ish knocks out Shein V'ayin, he's not going to go free, because he's not the sole owner. Yeah, I think it would be a fair question to wonder, what if they both knock out Shein V'ayin? Would the Eved Kenani go free? It's fair to ask, but right now, all we're just simply proposing is that whether or not Takanas Usha is in fact a Takana or it's not a Takana, is a machlokis tonight. The Gemara says, "Lo, no, the kuli amas say takanas usha." Maybe we could say the following, and that is, everyone subscribes to takanas usha. Ella kan kodem takana kan lacher takana, and it could be a very simple explanation of the discrepancy between brises numbers 1 and 2, and that is, one brisa is describing what life looked like before takanas usha, and the other brisa was describing what life looked like after takanas usha. Before takanas usha, who's the owner? She is. That's brisa number 1. After takanas usha, who's the owner? They both are. That's brisa number 2. E brisa ma idavid lachar takanas usha, lachar takana. So another proposed explanation of the machlokas, they both hold up takanas usha. And maybe over here we can now offer the following. Both brises hold up takanas usha. Both brises are describing life, what life is like after takanas usha. So then what's that the issue over here? The statement of Rava. What is the statement of Rava? A number of times in Shas we go over the statement of Rava. In Pesachim Daf Lamed we did it. Here in Baba Kama Daf Tzadi. Good. And that is Hektesh. We're on the top of Tzadi Amar Aleph. Hektesh, Chametz, V'shichra, Mafki, Midei Shibud. Okay, so what are lien breakers? Right, the term I use every time. So a lien breaker, in other words, when you have a lien on something, so that means that person is indebted to you and something is securing that obligation. So that's your lien. So in other words, normally under normal circumstances, so in the event of default, so what do? You go over and say, look, you owe me money. Ah, you defaulted. Perfect. So I'll take the property. I'll foreclose on the property. So that normally is what I can do with my lien. I can exercise my lien and go ahead and take the property. Good. However, what Rava teaches us is that three halachic categories are mafkia midei shibud. They are lien breakers. They simply break the lien. Let's go over each one of them. Number one, hektesh. So hektesh, that means to say that, let's say, we went ahead and secured an animal against the obligation. An apotiki. Right, which is not just a lien, but it's a very specific lien. where I'm pointing now, we establish at the time of the loan, at the origination of the loan, that that animal that you own over there is there going to be securing the loan. Good. So now what happens is that the borrower, after I lent him the money, what does the borrower do? So he takes that animal and he's makdish an animal lemizbeach. So now, whether or not that's the correct thing to do or not, let's assume it's not the correct thing to do, but that's not what we're discussing. What we're discussing is what happened to the lien, a hafkas hashibud. The lien now disappears. Now, there is an interesting Rashi over here, which can be spoken about at length. We're not going to. But Rashi over here says that hektish is only when you're makdish it lemizbeach, not when you're makdish it legabe bedek habayis. See the Rashi over here, who makes such a distinction, and then see much, much discussion to be had regarding why that distinction is correct. Anyway, but in the event that you take the animal and you're makdish legabe mizbeach, it breaks the lien, it removes the lien. That's number one. Number two, chametz. So chametz over here means the following, and that is that I borrowed money from a non-Jew, and what do? I told the non-Jew, look, what we're going to do is that we're going to secure the loan. What are we going to secure the loan with? I got single malt scotch right there in my liquor cabinet, and we're going to assign that as security against the loan. And now what happens is that Pesach comes, and now what am I obligated to do? I have to destroy my chametz. But that chametz, that single malt, is there securing the loan. So what does the Isser chametz do? Mafkia midei shibud. Once again, it's a lien breaker. I have the right to go ahead and to take that single malt and destroy it. It was securing the loan, yeah, but the Isser chametz goes ahead and is mafkia. And then finally, number three, shichur. Now, if we're mashachur in Eved, so let's say, again, I lent the money, and what am I using as security against the loan? An Eved Kanani. And now what happens is your mashachur the Eved, excuse me, it's mafkia midei shibud. It removes the shibud. Okay, good. So, they over here. It came as a result of Shane Vayan.
Wait.
So in other words, so Mafkim and Deshibud. So now it comes out like this, meaning both Bryces hold of Takana Susha, and both Bryces are describing what life is like after Takana Susha. So the Bryce that now says that neither of them are going to be able to knock out Shane Vayan, and the Eva goes free. Good. That brisa you understand. But what about the brisa that says that if the woman knocks out Shane Vav and the Eva goes free? Because that brisa subscribes to Rava. Now, what is Rava teaching us? Rava's teaching us is that even though Takana Susha allows him to have a shibud on the Evid, because that effectively is Takana Susha, nevertheless, Shichur is Mafkia Mide Shibud. Which now means that because she knocked out Shane Vayan, and because she really is fundamentally the owner of that Eved Kanani, so when she knocks out Shane Vayan, that's Shechur, and Shechur is Mafkia Shibud. It breaks the Shibud. Okay. Now.
But she was not allowed to be Meshachar.
Well, she knocked out Shane Vayan. In other words, she did it. She knocked out the tooth. She knocked out the eye. So that's Shechur. But he has a Shibud on it. Yeah, but according to Rava, it's Mafkia. Okay.
Conscious of the entire purpose of the conversation. That thing goes back to her alone. The conversation was the conversation that he shows her the virus.
Yeah.
It's not only eating the food, but it goes back to her. He only allowed to eat the food. That's all it is. He has no virus. That means if she sells it,
Takana Susha tells us that he has virus. So that if she sells it, the sale's not a sale.
But if she's whatever she does, and she has to be emancipated, what's called the Eved, yeah?
Yeah.
And he has no say in it. So what is the consortium doing?
So good. So in other words, Takana Susha will protect him for any other asset, but when it comes to Shechur Eved, Takana Susha is not going to help him. Uh-huh. Okay, good. So the, Lema Reva Tanaihi. So the Gemara says that was a phenomenal explanation. But now what comes out, however, is that Rava now is only able to explain one brisa. And now you want to tell me that the other brisa is connected Rava? And so that means to say that Rava's statement really now is the machlokas tanayim? And Rava doesn't want to say that. So lo de kule amaslu de Rava v'hacha amur rabban l'shibud de ba'am. Over here the Gemara says, no, everyone really holds the Rava. Okay. Everyone really holds the Rava. Now if everyone really holds the Rava, so now what? So now we should say that the shechur should be mishabed. Should be mafkia midei shibud. So the Gemara proposes the following. Yeah, let's start off with Rava once again. Rava says that three things are going to break a lien. One of them is shechur eved, which is going to break a lien. If there was a lien on the eved kanani, and then shechur ha'eved, so the lien is broken. Good. Everyone subscribes to that. So what is happening over here by Takanas Usha? It could be, this is the Gemara's proposal, the one brisa that says that the Eved's going to go free, easy, glad. It's so simple. Because again, once they subscribe to Rava, Shechur Eved is going to break the lien. What about the other brisa? The other brisa will tell me the following, and that is that Takanas Usha is not just a lien, it's a super lien. Okay? Those of you who are frequent listeners to me, so you know my terminology. Okay, I made it up. I trademarked it, and if you like it, great. And if not, I totally understand. It's a super lien. So so that means to say that Takanas Usha is not just a regular, it's not just a standard lien. It's an enhanced lien. It's a super lien. And so it could very well be that even though Rava will tell you that a normal shibud will be broken via shechurer, but over here Takanas Usha is not a normal shibud, super shibud, and so therefore it will. And correct. In other words, his shibud is so strong that, in other words, her bailus is no longer going to be just the only bailus on the item. It's a type of shibud now where he is considered the baal hadavar. Okay, we're almost done with this thread of the Gemara. The Gemara says, and I'll tell you what. We can also go back to the Bryce and we could just simply say the following. Really, nobody holds of Takanas Usha. I mean, we could say that. And over here, Ha'cha, Bikin, Paris, Kikin, Gof, Dami, Kimiflagi. And over here, it's just a question of whether or not Kinyan Paris is Kikin, Gof, or Lav, Kikin, Gof. It could very well be that that's a simple explanation of the two Bryces. Okay, Adkan. We're not done yet. In other words, we still have a little bit more to go until we hit the upcoming Mishnah. But again, this is now day number three in which we're describing and discussing Takanas Usha. And effectively, this is really just a conclusion of yesterday's Gemara. Yesterday's Gemara, Baba Kama, pay tests, was entirely dedicated to, can I see Takanas Usha in any of the Mishnayos? Not clearly. And over here now, in our third day of discussing Takanas Usha, well, maybe it's a machlokas tanayim, maybe yes, maybe no. Okay, good. All right, we have a little bit more to go before we get to the upcoming Mishnah. A short word of Hakdama. Torah describes that the killing of an Eved Kanani is murder. Okay, it's really simple. An Eved Kanani is a person. Now, in other words, it's also you own the Eved Kanani, so right, it is a strange phenomena in that you're owning an individual, but at the same time, however, a human being, person, and so therefore, if you kill an Eved Kanani. So that is an act of murder, you're chai misa. However, the Torah says, this is in Parshas Mishpatim, Per Chaf Aleph, Psukim, Chaf and Chaf Aleph, V'chiyak ish esavdo esamaso b'shevet, umeis tachas yado nakom yinakeim. Okay, so first and foremost, so you kill your Eved Kanani, your own Eved Kanani, so nakom yinakeim. In other words, you're chai misa. Ach, however, there is one patur in terms of the killing of your eved or shivcha. Im yomo yamayim yamo lo yukam ki kaspohu. If, however, they don't die immediately, but, in other words, it takes them yom o yamayim, a day or 2 days to die, so then you're not going to be chayv misa. Okay, so an exemption that's built into the killing of your own eved kananis, shivcha kananis, and that is the exemption of yom o yamayim. Now, yom o yamayim, 1 day or 2 days, we're talking about whether or not it is a capital offense or not a capital offense. So what does that mean, yom o yomayim, 1 day or 2 days? Which one is it? 1 day or 2 days? So the Mechilta, Rashi cites it over here. So the Mechilta says that yom o yomayim really means 24 hours. Okay. So that means to say that, now under normal circumstances, if let's say you kill somebody but he doesn't die immediately after you assault him, but you gave him a critical blow and he dies, it doesn't matter whether the death was an hour later, 5 days later. If we can connect the death to your blow that you gave him, that's murder, and you're chayv misa. However, when it comes to an eved kanani, so you have a patur of yom o yomayim. So far, so good. Those are right now just simply the facts. Now the Gemara discusses the following. Beplukta dahani tanai. What we discussed above is going to be a machlokus between the following tanaim, the tanaim we learned in Braisa. Amocher abdelachor pasukimo amnashe yisham shenu shoshim yom. So let's say you do the following, and that is that you sell your Eved Kenani to another person, and amnashe yisham shenu shoshim yom, that he's going to be serving for 30 days. So the word sale is probably not the best word to describe it. It's probably a rental. So what you do is you rent out your Eved Kenani. Now, so good. So you own your Eved Kenani and Eved Kenani for rent. So you rent it out for 30 days. You rent him out for 30 days. Rebbe Meir, Omer Rishon, Yesha, B'din Yom Yom, Haim, Im Neshu, Tachtav. Ketzav, Kinyin HaPeros, Kinyin HaGufta, Amei. So good. So first and foremost, Shitas Rebbe Meir. So Shitas Rebbe Meir is that the renter is going to have the din of Yom Yomayim. The renter goes ahead and kills. I'm going to speak about this like very dryly. In other words, obviously we're talking about the killing of an Eved Kenani, a serious topic over here, but you understand. I'm just right now I'm just going over the legalities. So if the renter goes ahead and kills the Eved Kenani, so according to Rebbe Meir, the renter is going to have the exemption of Yom Yomayim. Why? Because Rebbe Meir is of the Shita, Kinyan HaPeros is Kinyan HaGuf. And therefore, according to Rebbe Meir, the renter is the owner, vis-a-vis this halach of Yom HaYamayim. That's Rebbe Meir.
Even though it's just for temporary...
Yeah, it's Peros. Peros is rights and usage. Rebbe Yehuda, Omer Sheni Yeshna B'din Yom HaYamayim Imneshu Kaspo. So, so Rebbe Yehuda is of the position that the buyer has a din of Yom HaYamayim because he's Kaspo, Kasavar, Kinyan Peros, Lavka, Kinyan Aguf Dami. Okay. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, only the lokeach has the din of Yom HaYamayim, because kinyan peres lavke kinyan aguf dami. Good, that's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Amar Shneim Yeshna B'din Yom HaYamayim Zeb Mimeshu Tachta V'Zeb Mimeshu Kaspo. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, both of them have the din of Yom HaYamayim. Both of them will have that exemption, meaning both the owner and the renter. Why? Because one is currently has the rights of usage, and the other one is the owner. And misafka lekinyan peres ikinyan aguf dami lavka kinyan aguf dami and safik nefashos haakel. And so, therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, where does he stand from a svara standpoint? I don't know. Kinyan HaPeros may be Kinyan HaGuf, may not be Kinyan HaGuf. And now what? Now we're going to execute somebody when we're uncertain whether or not he's Chayav Misa. Okay, this idea of Safik Nefashos Sahakel, right, is used throughout Shas, not only in terms of defending people who you would be comfortable defending, but even in defending people who would be a little bit less comfortable defending. Meaning, who are we looking at right now? Who are we talking about right now? The murderer. Meaning the owner who went ahead and killed his Eved Kenani. So again, is he a murderer? If he died immediately or within 24 hours, yes. If the Eved Kenani died after 24 hours, so halachically, not a murderer. Well, over here now, this exemption is only limited to the owner. Who is the owner? So if according to Rabbi Yossi, I don't know whether or not Kinyan HaPeros is Kinyan HaGuf or Lav Kinyan HaGuf. So now it leads us to the question of, we don't know who the rightful owner is during this period of time. And so therefore, each one of them may qualify for the exemption of Yom HaYamayim. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, I'm not going to put either one to death. In other words, we're assuming the case under discussion is that the Eved Kenani died after 24 hours, and now each one of them may have the exemption of Yom HaYamayim. We're not going to put him to death because we don't know if, in fact, he's really Chayiv Misa. And Rebbe Lazar Omer Shneim Einam B'Din Yom HaYamayim Zelefi Sheino Tachta V'Zelefi Sheino Kaspo. And the fourth opinion over here in this bright says, Shitas Rebbe Lazar, neither of them are going to have... are going to have the exemption of Yom HaYamayim. Now, I'm a Rava, my time of the Rebbe Lazar, I'm a Kra, ki kaspa hu, kaspa miyuchad lo, because in order to have the exemption of Yom HaYamayim, you have to be the owner. The owner means miyuchad, you have to have exclusive ownership of him. You mean you have to have ownership and you have to have rights. And if I'm missing an aspect of it, I don't have the exemption. The exemption of Yom HaYamayim is only limited to the owner in its exclusivity. And now, a Maimer says that if a man and a woman, husband and wife, go ahead and sell Nichsei Malog, so lo asa v'lo klum. So in other words, it's not a sale. Come on, Rabbi Eliezer. So that's going like Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, in order to define ownership, you have to have both ownership and rights. And if the two now are separated between two different people, so neither of them are going to have ownership, and neither of them can effect a sale. Mantan lahadatan rabban mishechetu ave vechetu ben chorin vechein evishol shei shutfim ein yotzin. So, if I have chetiu ave chetiu ben chorin, half slave, half free man, often discussed throughout Shas. Right now, if you know what that looks like, great. If not, it's fine. We're going to go on anyway. And or let's say you have an eved that's owned by two partners. Excuse me. So the eved will not go out with Rashi Avarim. The Amalei Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi Hachi Amrei Mishmei de Rav Rebbe Lazar. So that is a reflection of Shitas Rebbe Lazar. So Milo Amrei Rebbe Lazar Kasma Miuchalo Hachanami Abda Miuchalo. So again, because in order to have the definition of owner, you need to have exclusive sole propriety over that Evakanani. If you're missing that, i.e. you're only a shareholder and you do not have sole proprietary ownership, so then you're not going to have the exemption of Yom HaYamayim, and you're not going to be able to effect a sale, and the Evakanani will not be Yotze L'Cheirus if knocked out, if a limb is knocked out only by a shareholder, not somebody who has sole propriety. Okay, Adkan, that takes us through the first half of today's daf. Okay, good.
Ah,
right. Correct. I was thinking similar, meaning that if they both were there, so then enachinami. In other words, they could take each aspect and combine it together in order to effect a sale. All right. I was thinking the same. Okay. Yep. Okay. Adkan, we are now on Sadi Amud Aleph, and we're at the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, and what do we know? We know that one of the payments that you pay when you damage somebody is Boshes. Now, Boshes, as I pointed out, in other words, happens to be I was in Eretz Yisrael, we didn't do the Mishnah together, but Boshes is one of those things that's really hard to wrap your head around in terms of putting a number on it. The idea that you have to pay for Boshes is kind of intuitive, and it's also psukim in the Torah. But in other words, it's kind of intuitive, meaning aside from the physical damage, there's also emotional damage as well. But how much is it? That's a wonderful question. Is it something which is a set amount, or is it going to fluctuate based on considerations? I'll be more specific about what that means momentarily. Good. So we are now starting with the Mishnah Tokel Chavero. So let's say you blow into somebody's ear. Now, blow into somebody's ear is a little bit strange. In other words, what kind of damage are we talking about over here at Tokela Chaver? Rashi over here offers two interpretations of the Mishnah. So either you're blowing in the ear or you're hitting him on the ear. Either way, aside from Nezek, Tsar, Ripui, Shevis, aside from that, there's also Boshes. So no, Sin Lo Stella, Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum, Rabbi Yosef, Galili, Mane. Machlokes Tanaim, how much are you going to have to pay for the Demei Boshes? Either it's going to be a seller, or it's going to be 100 zuz. Now, just as a point of interest, by the way, that is a wide discrepancy that exists between these two shitas over here, right? 100 zuz, a man is 100 zuz. How much is 100 zuz? That's 25 salayim. So we're talking about a difference over here between one seller versus 25 salayim. That is obviously a really wide discrepancy between these two opinions. Sitaro, now let's say you give him a slap, right? All right, you think of those days where before the start fight, so it starts off with a slap on the face. Okay, good. So again, it's chavala, and it's also embarrassing. So no salama saim zuz over here, that's going to be 200 zuz. Okay, obviously it's more embarrassing. I say obviously, by the way. I mean, whatever. It's really hard to put a price tag on it, but that's exactly what the Mishnah is doing. So la'achar yado, Let's say instead of slapping him with the front of your hand, slap him with the back of your hand. So now, that's an act of real that's disrespectful. And when you hit him with the back of your hand, that's 400 zuz. Okay. So tzarim ba'azno, talosh b'saro, rakok v'higo b'roko, hevi taliso mimenu, so para rosh ha'isha b'shuk, so nosin lo arba me'azuz. Other acts of serious disrespect, and that is that you pull him by the ear, you pull his hair, you spit on him, you remove the clothing off of him. So or you go to a woman and you uncover her hair. So all these are significantly disrespectful acts, embarrassing acts when done to another person. And by the way, also another consideration is how many people are there watching it. But no son of Arba Meizuz, so that's going to be a 400 zuz price tag on the boshes that you did. Again, separate from all the other payments that are under consideration, top of Tzadim and Beis. Zeh HaKlal, HaKol Efik Vodo. So, over here, now in terms of boshes, So Zeh HaKlal, the Mishnah is now telling us, here's a rule, and that is HaKol Efik Vodo. Everything is going to be a function of how much kavod that person is entitled to. The Gemara is going to discuss, we're not doing it today, we'll do it tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. The Gemara is going to discuss this line of the Mishnah. Is it serving as a kula? Is it serving as a chumra? We'll wait till tomorrow to discuss this particular line. Am Rabbi Akiva, afilo anim shebiyisrael rono sam kilo heim b'nei chorin, sheyardu mechseyem, sheheim b'nei Avraham, Yitzhak, v'Yaakov. So Rabbi Akiva tells us, so you could see this as Musar, but as far as we're concerned right now, we're just going to understand the halacha of it, and that is that there's no such thing as a progeny, a child of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov that's beneath, that's below. In other words, everyone's going to be operating with the same degree of kavod, which means that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's going to be the same price tag of boshes, regardless of who the person is that you injured. In other words, it seems to be that Rabbi Akiva totally dismisses this idea of hakol lefi kvodo. According to Rabbi Akiva, all of us are B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and therefore subject to the same amount of boshes. And just to hammer this point home, the Mishnah tells us a story. And that is that there was a man who went over to a woman, Bashuk, and we don't know the background, but whatever the background was, he went ahead and he just simply took off her head covering. He exposed her hair in public. So Uvaslav ne Rabbi Akiva, now the case came in front of Rabbi Akiva because now she's litigating, she's suing him. In other words, in one of the payments that she's looking to extract, of course, is boshes. And v'chiva litein l'arba me'azuz. And Rabbi Akiva says, okay, she's right. You're 400 zuz. So amar lo Rabbi tein lizman. So now the defendant says, wait one second. I need a little bit of time. Meaning I have a case, but if you could just give me a little bit of time to make my case. Okay, so Vanessa Lozman. So Rabbi Akiva says, okay, I'll give you some time to make your case. So Ushmaram. So Omeres al Pesach Chatzero. And what he does now is he's waiting for this woman to leave her house one day. Vishiber Sakad Bifaneha. And what he does is that he breaks a jug of oil in front of her. Uvoki Isser Shemin. How much oil are we talking about? Not a whole lot. It is just an isser, that's a coin, an isser's worth of shemen. It's not a lot of oil. And gilta as rosha v'haisa mitapacha sumaneches yada a rosha. And what does she do? She wants to save the oil, despite the fact that it's not a lot of oil. And what does she do? She uncovers her own hair in order to save the oil. Now what she then does is that she takes the oil with her hand and she puts it in her hair. So her hair is basically going to be serving as a sponge, going ahead and collecting the oil. But the point is that she is ready to uncover hair in order to do this. So Hamid Allah Adim. And now not only did the man do this, but the man also had Adim who were able now to report this. And now he went back to court of Alifnei Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo lezu ani nosin arba me'azuz. And now he goes back to Rabbi Akiva and he says, now this is absurd. Meaning I uncovered her hair in public. And obviously what I did was wrong. I grant you that. But this is absurd. Meaning you're now going to go ahead and require me to pay her 400 zuz because it's publicly embarrassing because of what I did. Hey, for an isser's worth of oil, she uncovered her own hair. She doesn't care that much. And I have to pay 400 zuz? So, Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva says to the defendant, Yes, you're going to be paying 400 zuz. I'm not budging from my ruling. So lo amar klum. So chav abas maf apish ein rashai pater achem shechav lebo chayavim. A person does.
Sorry.
Person inflicts damage to themselves. So are they going to be required to pay themselves? No. And meanwhile, when somebody goes ahead and damages you, obviously they have to pay you. What she is ready to do to herself is inconsequential. Legabe, you did it to her, you're going to have to pay her. It's really that simple. You go ahead and cut your own saplings on your field. Do you have to pay yourself for the damage? No. If somebody cuts the saplings on your field, do they have to pay you? Of course. It's the same thing over here, says Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so she embarrassed herself. Inconsequential. You embarrassed her. You have to pay 400 zuz. Okay. Ibailuhu, let's at least first tackle the first topic in today in the Amud Beis. Ibailuhu. So, Manitsuri Tanan or Manit Medina Tanan, there were two types of currencies that were prevalent.
So the Manitsuri Tanan or Manit Medina Tanan,
there were two types of currencies that were prevalent. Bizman HaGemara. So Manitsuri, so Tyrian coinage. Anyway, but that's the more expensive currency, and the Kesef Medina. So it was an alloy metal. It wasn't a pure metal. The Manitsuri was 8 times greater in value than Mana Medina. And so over here our Mishnahs are using just simply terminology of mana, but obviously it's going to be an 8 time difference in terms of whether or not we're talking about Manitsuri and Mana Medina. Which one was the Mishnah making reference to? The Mishnah gave us a schedule of how much you pay, but because there are two currencies that were popular at the time, so it's a little bit ambiguous which one the Mishnah was making reference to. So Tashma, so the Gemara tells the story of a guy who was tokea bechavero, and the case came in front of Rabbi Yehuda Nisia. So Amalei ha ana ha Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So Ahavle Manitsuri Shmamina Manitsuri Tanan Shmamina. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said the following. First, he made a cryptic statement. He said ha ana ha Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Well, there's me and there's Rabbi Yosi Aglili. We don't know what that means yet, but he says to him, you're going to be paying Manitsuri. Now, so to the question of which money is it? Well, over here in this story, it was very clear because Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said it really clearly. And that is that you're going to be paying Manitsuri. Good. So, my ha'anaha Rabbi Yosei Galili. Okay, so it only begs the next question, which is that cryptic statement that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi made. What did he mean by that? So, ile ma'achi kamalei ha'ana dechazisechva Rabbi Yosei Galili damra manitsuri zohavle manitsuri solamema de nasadayan. Maybe what he was saying is that I was witness to it. The Gemara says, okay, I'm glad you were witness to it, but that makes you an aide. If you're an aide, you can't be a dayan. V'hatanya sanhedrin shirao echasharogas anefesh m'ksasim nasu eidim m'ksasim nasu dayanim. And read divrei Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva amar kulam eidim heim. The ain aide nasadayan. And so if Dayanim were witnessing a murder, so over here, if they're serving as Adim, can they then move in roles to be serving as Dayanim? So Rabbi Akiva says unequivocally no. And even Rabbi Tarfon, who says yes, well, no. Because Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Tarfon ala dimiksasim nasu e dimiksasim nasu Dayanim. Aval e nasa dayan lo kamar. Even Rabbi Tarfon say that what we'll do is that, look, you had a whole group of people seeing the murder. Some of them will immediately move to the role of Adam, and some of them will immediately move to the role of Dayanim. But what I can't have, even according to Rabbi Tarfon, is I can't have an aide become a Dayan. So when Rabbi Huda Anasi says, well, I saw it and now I'm going to be serving as a Dayan, nobody says that if you're an aide, you can become a Dayan. So the Gemara says, don't get so caught up by that. Because over there, the brisa that we just learned together was talking about where they saw it at night. And because they saw it at night, so there at night, you can't judge. Or you could just simply say like this. The cryptic line of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi could be understood in the very simplest way, which is, so, I hold like Rav Yosef Galili. What does Rav Yosef Galili say? Manitzuri. And there were other witnesses that saw it, meaning I wasn't the witness. I'll be serving as a dayan. But there were other witnesses that saw it. And because Rav Yosef Galili says it's manitzuri, so I'm going to have you pay manitzuri. Okay, we're going to pause over here. And tomorrow we'll move on to the topic of whether or not Aiden Asadayan or Aiden Aina Asadayan, which obviously we just touched on, but we'll go over that again tomorrow. Okay, Adkan, let's just quickly recap. Let's review. Okay, on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, so we finished the really long sugya of Takana Susha, right, here in Baba Kama. So the dapim of Peches, Peites, and today's daf, Tzadi, 3 days of discussing Takana Susha, lengthy discussion in the Gemara. And then on the Amud Beis, really starting on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, we talked about payments of Boshes, and Shitas Rabbi Kiva is that everyone's going to be receiving the same Boshes regardless of how, quote-unquote, insignificant they may seem from a society standpoint, but according to Rabbi Kiva, everyone is holding by the same degree of boshes, and even though they themselves are not makpid on that boshes, nevertheless, the payment is always going to be the same. A story in the Mishnah that hammers this point to Rabbi Kiva, and then just a quick discussion in the Gemara of whether or not you're paying manitzuri or manamedina, and the conclusion is manitzuri.